You're listening to a
Flawless Noises
Media Network production.
What's up and welcome to episode 28 of Mama Meets World, The Blame Game. On this episode, we're joined by Colin and we're going to talk about mom blame and a few other topics. I feel like this one's going to be a mixed bag, so strap in. Also, don't forget the Flawless Noises live show is February 2020. It is February the 29th, 2020. If you need tickets, it's eventbrite.com. You can easily search Flawless Noises Media's 1 year anniversary. Please buy your tickets now. I cannot stress to you enough. We need you to show us that you're going to attend so that it makes sense for us to have this live show. Really looking forward to seeing all of you. It is actually where I'm going to celebrate my birthday this year. At the live show. So please come join. It's my birthday. It's Jeremy's birthday of Ratchet Ramblings. I'd really love to see you in attendance. Also, let's not forget the Somebody Sexy Ass Mama shirt is live. You can always get the link on my Flawless Noises page. I tweet the link all the time and there will be the link in my show notes. So if you somebody sexy ass mama, auntie, uncle, uncle, grandpa, whoever, please pick up a shirt. As usual, you can reach me at any of the following. Twitter is at Mama Meets Pod. Instagram is Mama Meets World Pod. My Facebook page is Mama Meets World Podcast. And my email address is Mama Meets World Pod at gmail.com. You're also more than welcome to follow me on my personal Twitter page. It's _it's Miss Bree. And my personal IG page is Bree Taskel. I see a couple of y'all following. I'm actually going to clean that up and rebrand it as the Mama Meets World page, but I got to get my kids off of it. It's too much going on there. Anyway, don't forget to subscribe to the show if you use iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. And don't forget to leave us some reviews. We're on Anchor, we're on Spotify, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on everything. So wherever you consume your podcast, please subscribe to my show. Hey y'all, Happy New Year. I hope you enjoyed the wrap-up show. I hope you enjoyed your holiday. I enjoyed my holiday. I had a really, really great low-key drunk New Year. I was drunk most of the New Year. I knew things were bad when I was on my, like, maybe sixth glass of champagne. Champagne is so delicious, y'all, but I'm telling you, I was hurting the next morning. And I don't even typically get hangovers, but I just felt like, you know what? Today's a good day to just not get out the bed, and that's exactly what I did. Shout out to my kids for letting me not get out the bed. It was amazing. I hope you all enjoyed your holiday as well. So we are coming out of the holiday season. I cannot stress to y'all, I know that y'all just heard my voice about this. Now that we're out of the holiday season, them coins is a little more free. Now is the time to buy your tickets to the live show. It is Atlanta, February 29th. We have a hotel code. If you need a discount on the hotel, if you need to know, you know, more information, where should I stay, etc., etc., hit one of us up. Again, this is our 1 year anniversary live showcase, so you get a Mama Meets World segment. That's me. I'm also hosting the show. I'm gonna get a live energy reading from Gangsta Guria Mystic Moments. I cannot stress enough, Mystic Moments is a great ass podcast. If you are another woo woo bitch like me and you like to hear all about astrology and people, you know, feeling and determining other people's situations, I love it. His energy readings are amazing. If you ever have a chance to patronize him, I highly suggest it. Of course, we have your favorite niggers of Ratchet Ramblings. They are going to be doing a live recording. That's Curtis, Candace, and Jeremy. That's February 29, 2020. It's at 7 p.m. Please be on time, black people. It's at Rehearse Live. That's 2365 Pleasant Dale Road, Atlanta, Georgia. You can always get your tickets at the Eventbrite link, which will be posted in the show notes. So, now that we have all that out of the way, this is a monumental moment in the Mama Meets World franchise because I have a very special guest. And my special guest is very special. Obviously, I think this relationship is going to last for the long haul because I am inviting him on my show. after, you know, a good amount of time of having the show and having him, and it wrecks my nerves, y'all. This is like saving the phone number in the phone, like when you're dating. Like, this is a lot. Y'all know this podcast is my baby. He is also my baby, but the podcast is my baby. But please give it up for our guest, Colin. Colin is my boyfriend. This is his first time on the show. Hey, Colin.
Hey, thanks for having me. Snap, snap.
That's not what we do here.
All right, but here I am.
Yes, here you are. Thank you for coming on the show as we record this live in the bedroom.
Yes.
Yes. So, it's funny because Colin listens to every episode.
I do.
Sometimes he does not like the show as much.
That's not how that went. I told you that one show was greater than some of the other episodes, and you took that as
he might as well have told me the show
episodes was bad.
He might as well have told me the show fucking sucks. Y'all know I'm dramatic,
right? But I didn't say that.
So, Colin, hey.
Hey.
I'm glad to have you on the show.
You know what? It feels good to be here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It feels good for you to be here as well. It feels strange for you to be here. But it feels good for you to be here.
Right.
You know, do you not feel that?
I don't feel that, but I understand it.
Right, because it's my baby.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. So, we're going to talk about a few things. And you know what, Colin? I am excited to have you on the show.
Whoa.
And you know why I'm excited to have you on the show?
Why?
Because now we get to talk about these different things that we're going to talk about. And we get to use the womanist lens that I have so delicately placed on you in our courtship and dating.
You've definitely ruined me.
It's not ruining. I'd like to think of it as opening your third eye.
Yes.
We have these moments where, as a matter of fact, great example, right? What did we watch? Who's the fucking documentary? The Kevin Hart documentary. I don't know how this nigga managed to make himself look worse than I thought he was in real life. Honest to God, that is a talent.
So it's an amazing thing because watching it, having been with you, not just the fact
Wait. Let's pause first and just say Colin is Mr. Philly. Colin is Kevin Hart fan number one. Love this little nigga. He looked like Stuart Little to me a little bit.
Whatever.
But you were, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
you were looking forward to looking at the documentary to gain clarity.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, and in watching it, I got what he was saying. Had I not been with you, though, I wouldn't have walked away from it the way that I did. And it was interesting because I was listening to another podcast.
Uh-huh. What podcast?
Do we say other podcasts?
Yeah, we can say other podcasts.
I was listening to the most recent Joe Budden.
We don't say that podcast. I don't subscribe to that fuck nigga.
I knew that. That's why.
Okay, I thought it was just like a thing.
I was listening to the podcast and I was listening to them talk, and I'm listening to all of the things that I normally would have gotten out of the Kevin Hart show, and I was like, niggers.
Why?
Because they're over here talking about, you know, how good it was, how he brought in, you know, like, because obviously he was in control of everything in it, but yet he still showed, like, the thing when he was coming at his trainer,
right,
or whatever, showing how when left to his own devices, when his boys weren't there in Vegas, how things had happened, and just about all of the apologies, right. And like, they're like, yeah, I understand why he didn't want to apologize.
You know what, that was the dumbest fucking hill to die on, right? You say horribly homophobic things and it's, I'm not apologizing because I already apologized. The niggers that watched you and were your audience when you were doing that apology are not the same people who are your audience now that you're on this stage, that you're doing the Oscars, and you're like, well, I just went on Ellen, and I, not everybody fucking watches Ellen. Some people have jobs.
That's true.
You know, like, the fact that you've got all this money riding on you, all these people, brilliant people, that work for you. Like, I will say this, I was so very impressed with the team he had around him.
Yeah.
They did their work.
And he did not listen to them on purpose.
He didn't listen. Why the fuck are you paying them?
Right.
So, like, I'm sitting here looking, like, obviously you're a smart enough man to hire smart people to be around you. But then you're such a pompous asshole that you can't swallow your pride for a second to just listen to them and take their advice. And then they cut to 6 months later. 6 months later. Hey, y'all, I want to have this emergency meeting.
Right.
Let's follow your plan now, 6 months later. When that check started drying up.
Right.
When them offers stopped pouring and he started realizing, like, I'm not as untouchable as I thought I was. Right?
Right.
That's the problem. But,
and then what's funny is we just watched the movie that came out during that time. That
really, what was it got, called?
Upside. Where it didn't really get, like, the proper...
It didn't get the proper media treatment because everybody was mad at him for being a homophobe, mm-hmm. which they rightfully should have been. Do I believe that Kevin Hart is homophobic? I believe all black men have homophobic ways, right?
Yes.
I believe that all people have homophobic ways, especially black people in this community were raised in a quote-unquote Christian household, were taught certain ideals that contribute to homophobia. It's a lot of work to unlearn those things, right?
Yeah.
Do I think that making a joke about smashing a dollhouse over your child's head for playing with it, or doll, or whatever the fuck he said, mm-hmm. it's trash, right?
It is trash and wildly inappropriate.
You know, the tweets were a long time ago, but you're still fucking grown when this happened, right? It would have been nothing. It would have been literally no sweat off your sack to be like, you know what? I deeply apologize to, not to who I've offended, because that is the worst type of apology, right? I deeply apologize because what I said was flat out wrong. It came from a place of immaturity. It came from a place of me trying to be funny. And I understood that it was offensive when I typed it. But because I'm a comedian and I was trying to push the envelope, quote unquote, I did something in poor judgment. And for that, I apologize. I don't want this tweet to be reflective of who I am.
Right. Because I don't believe that that is who he right. is.
Right.
But he did say it. And exactly what you just said is what he should have done.
It is. But you double and triple down until, you know, your shit starts drying up. But to loosely tie this to the episode today, right? Episode today is called The Blame Game. I was the most disturbed at the documentary at the ways he describes his relationship with his ex-wife, Tori. Now, Tori has been absolutely villainized, correct?
Yes.
She has been painted as a vindictive ex-wife. Remember, she was a stand-up comic with him.
Right.
She wrote a lot of his jokes when he was starting out. The funny Kevin Hart that you remember, a lot of that is her, right?
Or them as a
team. Them as a team, right?
Yes.
When he described her in that documentary, my heart sank. He was like something to the effect of, you know, I was married before. It was a learning experience. Or whatever the fuck he said. Like,
right.
You have to understand, I'm like literally upset. I'm so tired of men treating first marriages, first girlfriends, women in general, like some kind of like Sylvan Learning Center for niggers. Like, it's terrible, right? Like, I'm not looking to you. I'm not saying right for agreement, because I don't even need you to agree with me. She didn't even understand. Like, they asked him, like, he's like, I'm going to have love for her because she's the mother of my children. I always have love for her. Do not give me the consolation of always having love for me because I had your little child or whatever, right? I had the child for myself as well. If you're going to respect me as a base of a person. And I know he doesn't respect her as a person because of the shit that he let the media put her through. He didn't once come up and say, and he had the power to, when they were dogging her so bad, you leave my ex-wife alone. You leave her out of it. Remember she had her little reality show?
Yes.
With her friends
she
or whatever?
She was on, yeah, yeah.
One of and them. He was like, I don't understand why she's doing reality, right? But also you don't want to pay her, you know, the big bucks or whatever. You know how niggas are about child support. She's trying to support herself. You don't want her to do that way either.
Right.
It was disgusting. And then Aniko, poor baby, she's sitting up there fucking crying.
For him.
For him.
Cheating on her.
Cheating on her. And this nigga had the nerve. The nerve of these niggas. He sat up there like he was about to cry because somebody told on him or because somebody recorded him.
Right. The violation that I received from my homeboy was just as bad as the violation that I did to my wife. And I'm sitting here watching it and I'm saying to you, imagine. Which we all know that's not who I am, or, you know.
It's not who you were.
It's not who I was, but this is what being with you has kind of, you know, led me to, right?
Right.
Because I'm supposed to be like, yeah, that fuck nigga.
How could he?
How could he do you like that?
Fuck his wife getting cheated on.
Right.
That's not the point, right?
How could he do you like that? That's your boy.
And it looks so incredibly selfish.
Yeah.
To have showcase your wife and your infant, basically, at the time they were filming. You know, he was like toddling around by the time they were done filming. Or they were done filming the episodes that we watched.
Mm-hmm.
I would never embarrass my spouse like that.
And that's what I saw, which I never, ever in life would have seen that. But that's what I saw. And then even listening to, you know, Joe, which is it. If
Joe Budden is an abuser.
Wow. Listening to his show always feels like I'm with my friends talking.
You which, have friends that you can talk
which,
to, though.
Surprisingly, me and my friends haven't talked about this at all.
Yeah. Y'all need to get in the group chat or something, because that nigga
I think
is...
they haven't watched it.
Oh, okay.
Because none of us talked about it at all. But just to be there and to talk with my friends, and I'm talking about Joe Budden, and then to not be on the same page as them was kind of... It was uncomfortable.
Can I say something controversial that you won't get mad at me about? If talking to your friends is like listening to the Joe Budden podcast, what does that say about your friends?
Wait, what?
Right. I love your friends. You know I love your friends.
I'm just saying, like,
just the gist
listening
of it, just
to
listening to
the show feels like...
Not the opinions. I need you to separate that.
Not the opinions always.
Okay.
But it's, you know, that's part of why I like the show so much, too, because it just feels like...
Can't you listen to Drink Champs or something?
I listen to Drink Champs as well, and it feels the same. It feels the same
We're
when I do that.
We're just going to stick to that feeling.
All right.
Moving on. Colin does not internet as well as I internet, but you want to tell people to follow you on Twitter?
My Twitter is at... At Colin is Clutch, C-O-L-I-N.
Just one L.
Bam.
Boom.
Yes.
You did that.
You won't find me on there very often.
Ever.
That's what it is, though.
You want to plug your Instagram?
My Instagram is at Clutch25, and I do be on that.
But do you be posting me? I'm kidding. You do. I'm just joking.
I be, all right.
Yeah, you be posting me. Okay, so, he doesn't internet like I do. And, you know, I log on Twitter at work when I'm supposed to be working or whatever. And I just can't concentrate today. I keep seeing all these 11 kids. In my mind, I'm like, who has 11 kids? Are we talking about 11 kids? And so I do my little research or whatever. I find an article. And the article is entitled, Mother of 11 Cannot Work, Close to Eviction. So this is out of Atlanta. I think WSB TV is Atlanta. This was on the WSB TV website. Mother of 11 cannot find work close to eviction. This is Memphis, Tennessee. I'm sorry. So a mother of 11 who was laid off before Christmas and is unable to work find work and is facing eviction. And this is a quote from her. She says, "If I had family to go to, like immediate family, I'd go and ask them, but I don't have any immediate family." Her name is Jessica Sumlin. It's just me and my kids. The Mid-South mother says she's about to be evicted because she can't find work. It's a harsh reality many people in Memphis are experiencing in recent months, as several companies have announced layoffs that are carrying over into the new year. Sumlin's was just laid off days before Christmas, a story that's familiar to hundreds of families across the Mid-South. She's a single mother applying for jobs when the bills pile up and available jobs fill up. "So I've been filling out job applications," she says, et cetera, et cetera. She said making ends meet for her 11 kids is impossible. The White Haven mother left her job after 12 years at Taco Bell because she has a high-risk pregnancy. She found a temporary job in November, laid off right before Christmas. They go on and on. She doesn't have transportation, so she spends about $20 a day on Uber. She's like, "I'm just doing what I can for me and my kids, but right now my bills have overwhelmed me." Earlier this month, we reviewed closure notices reported to the state, found out there were 1,680 layoffs in Shelby County. So, this is me going off for a second, right? I read that. I saw the picture of her. Literally, emotional reaction. You have 11 children. You lose your job of fucking 12 years. 12 years. And I also found out, actually, Taco Bell has wonderful maternity coverage. They offer real maternity leave, paid in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. They offer an education program where they pay for school. And they are the quote-unquote healthiest fast food restaurant in America. Did you know that?
I did not. I thought it would be Subway or Chipotle.
But Chipotle, they're not fast food. Chipotle's not. Chipotle, like, is fast food.
It doesn't count as casual dining, does it?
It does count as casual dining because it has a dining room. And most people eat there. That's what I would think. But I'm thinking, like, your drive-through.
Oh. Okay.
You know. So, I log on Twitter. I have this emotional reaction because, you know, as some of you who have been following the podcast know, I only have two children. But I face homelessness with Jaden. And that was one of the toughest times of my life. I couldn't imagine going through that with 11 children. But I log on Twitter. I start seeing people, "How the fuck do you have 11 kids? She needs to take some personal responsibility for herself." Okay, I understand maybe three kids, but after three kids, how do we get to 11 kids, right? And I look back at the article. Now, the article is actually highlighting the fact that the area she lives in has had all these layoffs. Mm-hmm. And she just happens to be an unfortunate soul that was laid off. This woman was employed for 12 years.
Yeah.
For 12 years. Not speculating on her situation before, right? But people are like, you know, she's using the system. She's getting all this welfare. If I'm going to pay taxes, baby, I want my taxes to go to children. I want it to go to children to eat. Point blank. I want my taxes to go to people who are vulnerable in this system. And we never talk about corporations being on welfare. When those are the people who, to me, suck the system dry. It's not single moms. You know, it's not whatever, but the lack of empathy for this woman literally made me want to vomit today. And the question I kept asking myself is, all I see is blame for the mama. Why ain't nobody got the same kind of vitriol reaction for the fathers or father, depending on the situation?
Right.
And where is the blame? Why does the blame always get put on the mama?
The blame always gets put on the mama because usually the mama is the one who's responsible, right? And
responsible for the children, not responsible for the whatever's happened to them.
Actually, both. However fair that isn't, that's the way it is. And that's how things are seen. And that's just how life is. Now, there's a lot of details about this lady's life that we have no idea about.
But I mean, even knowing that, right? We don't know a lot about this woman. We don't know a lot about her situation. All we know is this news article. Why was the immediate reaction, all this fire from people, not directed at mom and dad?
Because the article only said mom is getting evicted. That's the only thing that it says. mom of 11, which, I mean, 11's a lot.
Right? 11 is a lot, but, you know, we speak about womanism and feminism and all that stuff, you know. Like, let's talk about how birth control is dangerous. Let's talk about how birth control can be expensive if you don't have insurance. Let's talk about how some women just purely don't believe in birth control, right? For religious reasons or for whatever. And also the vasectomies are cheaper and easier than most birth controls and more reliable.
That's true too, right? But let's also think too, right? So she's had 11 kids.
And still managed to keep a job for 12 years.
Right, which is commendable, right? But also, all 11 of those kids don't live with her.
How do you know that?
This is...
Your speculation. We're all making... Right, okay.
Right. My speculations are different, or not the same as all the speculations that have been on the Twitterverse. But, like, some of her kids, though, have to be grown. Unless she was back-to-back-to-backing
all the way. I think she was back-to-back-to-backing. Because she doesn't look that old.
She honestly doesn't look that old.
But I mean, we're truly speculating.
Right, but I'm thinking at least two of them are old enough to be out of the house.
What if the two of them are like 15 and 16? What if she got like on the cusp kids?
True that. But either way, right? Let's just say all 11 of them live with her, but like, where on earth do you live with 11 kids if you don't have your own farm? You right. know, where they're actually out milking cows and
what? What?
I mean, that's what you have 11 kids for.
Well, you had to have 11 kids back. Like, my great grandmother had 8.
That's what I'm saying, but that's what you have.
Did your grandmother have a lot of kids?
She did.
Which, how many kids did your grandmother have?
7.
Your dad's mom.
Yeah.
She had 2 sets.
Yeah, right. She had 2 sets of kids. But either way, though, that was also back in the day. People don't necessarily do that now because we're not, you know.
We don't live in the climate where you have to have all these kids because there's no land to work.
Right. So let's say 11 live with her, right?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Where... I don't know. I feel like if you have a landlord, if you're in a landlord type situation, you don't live in a place that's big enough for 11 kids.
You know, my cousin has 10 kids. Well, you know, some of them don't live here. Hey, update.
Update.
I found her GoFundMe.
Nice.
So this is Jessica's GoFundMe, and she's saying, I moved in with my mom around Christmas because the house I did move in had into contained black mold and no heat. At the time, I had a newborn, so we couldn't stay there. I got storage on Elvis Presley, which after renting for a month, they informed me that someone had broken and stole me and all my children's things. So it seems like she had it together before she lost this job.
Right.
So I just got on my feet with the help of a few people and I moved into my house. But after all that, I'm stable now with an empty house. So she's basically asking for anything. Because everything helps, and I'm the type of person that's thankful for anything. So if you could please look deep down to those pockets to help my babies and me, because we all we got right now. So now, quote it. Granted, she didn't say how many children were living with her, right? Right. But you see that this was started in like July. The GoFundMe
mm-hmm.
was started early in like July. But a lot, I guess, because people saw her, it got traction, right?
Right.
But anyway, this is the blame game that I talk about. We can sit here and make all the hypothetical situations we want. Because we don't know. But what I do know is that people look at her. People look at any woman with multiple children, multiple babies' fathers, and it's automatically a judgment on her character. Right?
Yes.
Oh, she got 2 kids, 2 different baby fathers. Me. Hands up. I mean, that's me. Right?
Right.
Oh, she got 3 kids and, you know, whatever. There's always this judgment and the blame is always on the mamas and never the daddies, right? And I'm trying to figure out why. Future has how many kids?
Lots.
Lots and lots and lots of children. Nobody talks about how he's irresponsible, reproductively irresponsible. Nobody talks about, oh, why he have all these damn kids. And clearly, the nigga's not the good father.
Future's a bad example because he has money.
Okay, but Future's not a bad example because he doesn't... All the women that he's had children by, except with the exception of Sierra, have been openly fighting him in court for child support. Sometimes he don't even show up to the court when they do it.
Right, but he gets found guilty and he pays, and you know what I mean?
But that's not the point, though. Because no matter if you're paying the child support or what, nobody's on Future like, you're irresponsible as a person because you keep having these children. Look at Kiki Wyatt.
Well, see, here's the... Well, Kiki got that fire.
I understand that Kiki may have that fire. But you also, in the same breath, you say things like Kiki got that fire. And I do believe that she has that fire. When we talk about her having multiple kids, when she announced she was pregnant with her 10th kid, people were like, what the fuck, again? Why is she having all these kids? She got money too.
So, all right. Blame game, right? I know the... I know the position that I've always taken, right?
What's the position that you've always taken?
Hold on, before we get there.
Okay.
You know, you have to remember when it comes to all situations, this is the other side to it's my body, my choice, right? Mm-hmm. So, regardless of, or irregardless, whatever, of how irresponsible a man is, how trash a man is, it is the woman's choice to bring the baby into the world. And for a dad to not have a say, even in general conversations, it's like, my body, my choice.
Okay, woman's, but right, we're talking about...
So she gets the blame.
She gets the blame, but that's a complete false equivalency, right? Because my choice, my body, whatever, comes from necessity. It's a necessity thing, right? Because you tell a man you're pregnant, you get the right to make your decision because the only person's health who's going to be affected by that pregnancy is yours. Right. But once the baby is here, that's your child. You are the father. You are just as responsible as the mother is. And you know, it's always bullshit to me when men claim this whole, you know, well, I told her not to have a kid. You know how not to have a kid?
Strap up.
Strap up. And you know, it's funny having this conversation with you because, you know, I don't want to put your business out. Are you okay with me?
Then don't put my business on.
Okay, huh?
Then I'm okay with my business. My bad.
Okay, so you decide you're done having kids. What happens?
Snippity snip snip.
Why?
Because I didn't want
your body, your choice.
Yes.
Your body, your choice, right?
Amen.
But if you were to go and you didn't get the snippity snip and you meet somebody after you get divorced, say you meet me.
Yeah.
Which happened. And I get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I say I'm pregnant, Colin. And you say, I don't know, man. Like, oh, this is a lot. My kids are 12 and 11. Shit. I just said 11 out loud.
I know. It's the first time saying
it. It's the first time saying it. His son just celebrated a birthday. You got kids that are 12 and 11. I don't want to do this baby shit again. And I say, my choice, my body. And I end up having little Colin. Do you then get to say, fuck it, I'm not raising this kid?
So, legally, I don't get to do that.
But morally, let's talk from a moral standpoint. Let's talk for the person that you are, because I don't want you to do this thing where you playing devil's advocate, because the devil has enough advocates. I'm asking you specifically what you do.
I mean, no, I would take care of my kid.
Why?
Because that's the kind of person that I am.
Right. And it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. You gotta.
I mean, right or wrong, it's my kid.
Right.
I care.
You lay down knowing that there was a possibility, you know, of someone getting pregnant. And I guess I just don't have the sympathy for men, because there are ways to wrap it up. And, like, men be like, oh, these women be whatever. I know
trapping,
men. Trapping. Nobody is trapping these niggas. Nobody is trapping these niggas.
So, look, I still have a little bit of toxic in me.
I understand, right? That you have a toxic in you. But I just want you to understand, like, I mean, you getting some pussy, right?
Some guys get
trapped. Some guys
get trapped.
These niggas that be claiming they get trapped, though?
Not all of them, but some guys do get trapped. And
You can't trap somebody that willingly had sex with somebody else. That's all I'm saying.
That's true, but there's the holes in the condoms.
Nobody is doing that on a grand scale that it needs to be discussed like that.
You know what? That may or may not be
true. That is absolutely true.
Right. Here's what I can say.
Okay.
Because I'm of the school where if you tell a guy you're pregnant and he says, I don't want the baby. This is prior to the baby being born. He says, I don't want to be a dad. And if you say, you know what? I want to be a mom right now. I'm having this baby. I feel like the father should be able to opt out. And if you choose to...
You know, the father did have a chance to opt out. And the opt-out portion... We've talked about this.
We have.
And the opt-out portion was when he decided to fuck. He could have just not fucked.
He could have just not fucked, right? But if she says, you know what? I'm going to have a baby and raise the baby by myself. Then
but you
she
know what?
Should be able to do that.
Those women,
or he should be able to say, well, you know what? Well, but this is the my choice, my body.
Right.
And it's her choice, her body. But it's like, hey, but it's also
it my was life. Your choice and your life. And you had the option not to have sex with her. You're not going to make me feel sorry for you. You're not going to make me feel sorry with any man who lay down with the woman. And I know men. See, the problem is I know men and you don't know men. I know men whisper in your ear. They tell you how much they want you. They tell you how much they love you. They fuck you raw. They're busting nuts like the 4th of July. And then when the baby comes, they act surprised. Nothing led up to this. You know, because that's a conversation you had. I don't want to believe, and I don't believe that most women are so irresponsible that a man would voice to them previously, I don't want a kid. I'm not trying to have a kid. They get pregnant and it's like, oh God. I know you didn't want a kid, but here we are. It's the majority is the other way around, right? Nobody has a stance on having kids. Y'all are having sex. You have an accidental pregnancy. That's when true colors show.
Yes.
That's what happens. So this whole opt-out conversation is a fucked up conversation to have when only one of us is putting our body through some bullshit.
You're talking about abortion or having a baby?
Either way. Either way, especially being a black woman when our maternal health rates are what?
Right.
In the toilet? When we are literally dying having children? I wish a nigga would. This is why you have to stab niggas.
Wow, that's why.
Yes. I mean, amongst other reasons.
Right.
But definitely, you gotta stab them when they be playing. Like, my thing is, like, if you're not ready to have a kid and you know that I'm fully well and capable of having kids, then don't have sex with me.
Or just don't have sex raw.
Raw. Don't have sex unprotected. Don't have sex. Go get a vasectomy, nigga, if you're so worried about having kids. They're reversible.
Not easily, but oh, yes.
Absolutely reversible, though.
Well, you know, I guess when you get your vasectomy, you could... No, they're not easily reversible. But that's not the point of this thing, right?
Right. The point is, why don't men carry responsibility like the women
But
carry?
That's why. My choice.
I completely disagree. I think it's just because this society babies men. The end. They put so much on black single mothers. I will say they put so much on black single mothers. Everything is our fault, the way our children turn out. I see so many jokes on Twitter and on social media about how being a single mom is like the worst thing in the world. But I never see where abandoning your children as a father is just as bad.
It's not. We live in that type of society where, I mean, it's the same thing with promiscuity, you know? Like,
it's a double standard.
Right.
We have a double standard, and I think it's far time that we're never going to get rid of the double standard.
We won't.
But the thing, for me, as a black woman, I need black men to acknowledge that it exists. That's it. I need them to acknowledge that it exists. And what I would love to see, if you're having a conversation with your homeboys or whatever, and they start talking about, you know, how this, well, she got 4 kids, 4 baby dads. Could you not be the voice to say, well, where are the fathers?
I acknowledge, as a black man, I acknowledge that there is the double standard in society. I
feel like you about to say some butt that's really about to make me fight you.
I also acknowledge that society is generally determined by men, and it will always and forever
be that way.
Be in men's favor.
I will agree with you. But what I'm asking, I guess, the ways in which I would feel protected as a black woman from black men specifically, niggas gotta start speaking up. Even if you can't change the world, speak up when we can't hear you. Speak up when we can't, when you're having those conversations with your friends, when you're having those little jokey jokes or whatever, and niggas is getting their jokes off or whatever, say something. That to me makes me feel protected. Stop making black women the villain, especially black single moms. You know, she live in a project, she got, you know, all these kids or whatever, and she on public assistance. Why hasn't the father stepped up? Why hasn't the father made it his business to make sure that they don't live like that? The children don't look like that, live like that. I know the mother's working hard.
You do realize that that is an impossible ask.
Why?
Because you have to think about...
Okay, well, let's not talk about black men in the grand scheme. Let's talk about you.
Okay.
Is that the impossible ask?
It's not.
Okay, then. So why is it impossible for other men?
Because...
Okay, but fuck niggas are gonna be fuck niggas. Let's just put that out there, right?
And I don't generally converse with fuck niggas.
You don't. But that's what I'm saying. Because you don't generally converse with fuck niggas, but I'm sure there's somebody on your outer circles that you've had these conversations with. All I'm asking is when you get the opportunity to speak up.
And I will.
Yes.
And I will.
And I feel like you speaking up could encourage somebody else to speak up. And that's how we change things, right? We're never going to change the world, right?
Right.
But we can change ourselves.
Okay. But when fuck niggas are talking to other fuck niggas, how would you then say, she got four kids or whatever.
I don't blame.
But the same way that I abandoned my three kids, you know what I mean? Like, how am I then going to say, yo, brother? But this wouldn't even be me.
Is that how black men talk? Are we going to do this?
No, come on. Stop.
All right. I'm just saying, like, I'm not speaking for fuck niggas, right? Because I've already exited them out of my equations. But you're asking me, a black woman, what it would take to make me feel more protected and more supporting, and I'm telling you. Yes. Don't tell me that's the impossible ask when you sit here and say, I can do that.
I can, because
okay.
We
talk about you specifically, but if you can, somebody else can. If somebody's listening to this show, they can. Somebody else can make this request out of somebody who may not have a man like you. It can go. It can reach. That's how you start calling out toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Hashtag toxic masculinity.
Hashtag.
Anyway, Colin, this has been a long episode.
For your show, yes.
For my show.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on to my show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell them how they can reach you, Colin.
You can find me on Instagram at Clutch25 or tagged in one of your pictures.
I don't tag you,
or
baby.
Or posts.
I don't tag you.
Yeah, you don't.
The chocolate to my peanut butter. Why do I need to tag you? Well, you tagged in my heart. What's understood ain't got to be explained.
Let's not do that. Because that's a whole show.
Is that a whole show?
That's a whole show worth of conversation. But
we're going to talk about that one
you
day.
Can find me. You can find me there. And then on Twitter, at @ColinIsClutch. That's Colin.
Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for not being a fuck nigger, actually, who takes care of your kids.
Yeah, I do.
Y'all know y'all can reach me at Twitter, Mama Meets Pod. Instagram is Mama Meets World Pod. Please, please, please buy your tickets for the live show. We want to make sure that you have your ticket so we can touch and agree in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, and have a good old time. I give great hugs.
You do.
I do give great hugs, and I love everybody. And I make them feel the love. So I'm excited to meet you guys. Shout out to Jasmine. I'm really excited to meet Jasmine. She bought a ticket. I really want to meet the boys. So I'm going to try to figure out a way to meet the boys as well. And your husband. Because y'all are an amazing family. So thank you for listening. Y'all have a wonderful and productive week. 2 weeks. See you next time.